You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
And your girl man save her. Better believe it, get on her knees and pray hard, then pray hard. And never look back once the world forgave you. Then do right, then do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong. Wanna turn right, but you turn all the way left.
Hensha, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and I'm so thrilled to welcome you to our show and this new year. And the wonderful thing about the new year is no matter when you're listening to me, well, you can have a Happy New Year. For example, in our culture, it is New Year's at Green Corn, right? And so we are able to celebrate in the middle of the year at Green Corn. We have Sundance. The solstice is our new year. We have New Year. And our precious Jewish friends have a new year, right? Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah. Muslim loved ones have a new year to celebrate. Hindu, our Polynesian Lunar New Year, Asian, Chinese Lunar New Year also. So we just have lots of chances. We have lots of chances to get this right. In the Christian faith, Easter is a season of renewal as well. And, you know, so at any time, you have an opportunity even in your own heart to have a happy new year. You have just a chance to have a happy new year. So happy new year. Every year, I pray and fast and seek God for a word for me and for my life, Rhema, Logos, Scripture, about what we need to do in the coming year or what God's plan is in the coming year. And this year is no different. But I also like to pray and seek God for what I should share with all of you on this show, our friends who listen to us, for the new year. And this year, steps and seasons. Steps and seasons came into my heart to share with each one of you. We love you so much, and we want you to have a blessed new year and a blessed life and abundance and a good plan. So, steps and seasons. I've learned a lot about my life through my cars. Through car problems, through traveling in the car, through getting and believing God for cars. I learned a lot of spiritual knowledge just by dealing with cars. And the concept of steps came to me when I was in graduate school pursuing my Master's of Fine Arts degree. My grandfather had given me a car when I was young. I was 16. And I drove that car through college, through master's degree school. And it came to a point where it would not go any faster than 40 miles an hour. It just wasn't working anymore. So I had to drive around and around the streets and things like that. I had to take the back roads. I couldn't get on the four lane or the highway. I had to drive, you know, accelerate up to 40 miles an hour. And our trusted family mechanic, a master mechanic, an expert of classic cars and international cars and a good person of integrity and worth. He said he didn't think it was safe anymore, really, to drive that car. And he said, you know, Miss Dawn, sometimes you have to do things in steps. Steps. And he told me that you have to do things in steps. And that this resonates with me right now for some of you in this new year. Steps. Steps will help you. And so he said, well, you don't have any credit because you're in school and you don't have your education yet. And, you know, how much money do you have saved up? And I had money saved up. I was trying to get a car. And I gave him all the money I had, and he got a beautiful one-owner car. It was so beautiful, and I drove that car. Oh, it was 200 and probably 70,000 miles on that car when I finished driving it and got a newer car. I mean, it was a wonderful car. It was a great car. It was just a blessing for me and everybody else. But I had to do things in steps. I couldn't buy a brand new car because I didn't have any credit. I couldn't borrow any money because I wasn't out of graduate school at that time. I didn't have money for a car payment. So I had to do things in steps. Well, some of you right now, steps will help you. If you will learn to do things in steps, it will change your life. I mean, it will just change your life for the better. Because what will happen to you is you will start thinking of things differently. You will have less pressure and less worry in your life. For example, if you want to lose weight or get fit or get in shape, what you will do is literally start with steps. You don't have to start bodybuilding yet, but what you can do is start taking a few steps to walk around your block. Steps up and down the driveway. One friend of mine lost a lot of weight, and she started literally by climbing the staircase in her house. And she climbed it to the number of days, or the number of times, was correlated to the date. So on January 11th, she climbed it 11 times. You know, January 12th, she would climb it 12 times, up and down. And that's really how she started her exercise and fitness regime, by climbing the stairs in her own house. Now, steps will change your perspective for the better. I would say the number one thing that people communicate with me about, they message me or they contact me on social media and they want me to pray for them because they would like to get married and have a family. And they're aware of the struggles I had to do that. And now I have a beautiful family and they want the same thing. And of course I want that for them. But I'm amazed at how many people contact me and they say that they really want to get married and they really want a family and that's what they want for the new year, their wish for Christmas or their birthday prayer. And I ask them, who are you talking to? Who are you texting? Who are your friends in your circle of friends? I know a lot of folks like the dating apps and stuff. That never was my thing. I really like in life, real life people. But you've got to have friendship first, right? You've got to have someone that the community knows and you know them, and you'd be amazed at how many people tell me no one. And I ask, who's around you? Like, who's around you? Who are you? Who's at work or who's at church? And they're like, oh, nobody. Well, what do you do on the weekends in your spare time? Do you volunteer? Are you active in a faith community? Are you in your cultural community? I know with COVID it's difficult, but what are you doing? And it's always nothing. Nothing. I mean, 90% of the people tell me they're not talking to anybody. They're not messaging or Zoom calling or FaceTiming or texting. They're not involved with a friendship group. They're just sitting home hoping that the mailman or the DoorDash person is their future spouse because that's the only person coming to the house. Steps. Steps. Got to have some conversations first, right? Got to meet someone and talk to them first. Got to get to know them first. Steps. And if you learn to think in steps, you'll see progress in your life. Perhaps you resigned from your job during the Great Resignation, and now your next step is to go online and look for some opportunities. Talk to your friends and family about what's available to you. And then, you know, I used to work at the Office of Career Services for a college, and it was amazing to me how many people didn't call us. Like, how many days went by where nobody came in, nobody called us, and yet we got flyers all the time. People called us all the time looking for employees, having job fairs, and we had nobody to tell. And yet you could take that step and call a Career Services or go online and look and see what's available to you. And when you think about things in steps, you feel more successful. You think, oh, today I did a lot of things. I filled out a lot of applications online. That was a good step. As opposed to thinking, oh, I haven't achieved my goal yet. And when we think about progress, one of the greatest things that will help us to understand progress and to feel less pressured in our lives, I believe, is learning to think in seasons. It was a great revelation to me that God thinks in seasons, right? God even says, you know, in due season. In due season. God thinks in seasons. Daniel chapter 2, for example, says that God changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that have understanding. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. God changes the times and the seasons. And so if we think in seasons, oh my goodness, life becomes so much richer and more abundant. For example, if you're going through a difficult season, perhaps you've lost a loved one, or you've been disappointed, or broken relationship, the mercy of seasons is that seasons change. No matter how sad and tragic you feel at this exact moment, the season will change. If you are unemployed right now, the season will change. If you're 25 years old and you don't have a job and you're looking, it's very unlikely that the next 75 years of your life you'll be unemployed. The season will change. You'll find something. You're lonely right now, the season will change. And when we think in seasons, one great thing that happens is that we also become grateful. We become thankful. And what I mean by that is you realize in a good season that this is a mercy. This is a grace. You appreciate the good times in your life. One of the things that brings so much joy to my heart is I remember praying. I remember crying. I remember being so lonesome. Because I wanted a family, and nothing was seeming to work out. And I think about those lonely Christmases and the lonely Valentine's Day, and think about everybody else posting pictures of their kids, and I was so sad. And now I have a season of great, wonderful motherhood. I have a beautiful family, and that makes me appreciate that family. I'm grateful to change diapers. I have never resented changing a diaper because I prayed to do that. I have never been upset with just the basics of motherhood because this is the season I prayed for. But I also cherish it. I also meditate on it. I mean, oh, I hug, I kiss, I sit down and pay attention, I play, because I know that even this wonderful season was going to change. I mean, someday... Children are going to be, you know, teenagers, and they're not going to want to snuggle with me. They're going to want to go out with their friends, and they're going to, you know, want to do other things, and so I savor these good days. Some of you right now, that's you're in a season that would bring gratitude to your heart. You have a good job, and you like it, and you're thankful to have it. Be grateful. Gratitude extends a good season as well. Sometimes I think about the peace that gratitude brings to our hearts, and it brings, especially when we talk about seasons. You know, some of us struggled a little bit to get our education, or maybe you struggled to get a car, and you remember those days when you used to take the bus, and now you're grateful because you have a car. So if you're in a tough season, one thing that happens is that your season will change. And that keeps you out of despair. That gives you hope. That helps you to keep going. As my great-grandfather used to say, just keep moving, just keep moving. My great-grandmother Margaret, no matter what you told her about, no matter how hard it was, she would always look at you and say, this too shall pass. And so if you're having a difficult season, we're not diminishing that. We're not telling you, oh, get over it or anything like that. We're just simply saying, please continue to walk with God in faith and prayer because the season will change. And if you're in a wonderful season, of rejoicing, of celebration, of good things, one of the greatest things you can ever say is everybody's fine. That is a blessing of the Lord, when you can actually say, oh, everything's fine, and it is. But you can give God praise and thanks and be grateful and savor that season and not take it for granted and enjoy it. And also build and grow during that season as well. We always talk about growth during the tough times and all of that, but sometimes in good times, we can build and grow too. For example, if you have a raise or a promotion, you're making a little bit more money, you don't have to spend it all. You can use it to build a savings. You can use it to make a down payment. You can use it to get out of debt. You can grow and build. You know, it's a lot easier to build in a sunshiny, peaceful day than it is in the middle of a hurricane. And so seasons will help us to continue with peace in our lives, because the tough times will change and the good times are a blessing. Seasons are so important that the book of Ecclesiastes in the Bible says that basically they govern everything. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heavens. There's even a song about that, right? Where they sing all of the seasons that come in life, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. I mean, there's just a season for everything. And that's why thinking in seasons will give you clarity as well. Because if you learn to discern what season this is, you'll make good decisions. Part of wisdom is knowing what to do with the knowledge that you have. And so, you know, that's why we see the old man at the club. You know what I'm talking about? There's always some guy that's like, you know, in his 60s, and he's trying to talk up in young women's faces and, you know, flirt with people that are way too young and all that. And it's because he doesn't know what season he's in. He doesn't understand that the flirting season is past, you know, and that really he's in a season where he should be mentoring people and being an encouragement to younger people, but instead he's stuck in a season. He hasn't discerned that seasons change. And so one of the challenges that he has is that he's out of season, and everyone else in season is looking at him as if he's out of season, but he hasn't discerned the season. There is a season of time when you can have children. You know, I'm not a feminist, I'm a matriarch. There's a difference, right? So I'm informed by a different cultural perspective. But there is a season to have children. If you want a family, there's a season to do that. And there is a season, perhaps, that we have to respect. And so when we think about seasons, discerning the seasons, God changes the times and the seasons, but we need to know what season this is. That'll make you a powerful person in life. Nobody wants to wear their winter coat in August, at least not in the United States. And if you're wearing a bikini in February and you live in Connecticut, you're going to be cold. So you have to discern what season this is. Is this the season to do this? Is this the time? What, you know, when God says go, go, right? It's like running a race when they say, you know, on your mark, get set, go, go. What season is this? And go into it. Go into it. And so I really want us to think in terms of steps and seasons in this new year, because I think it will show us that we're much more blessed than we think. Because if you learn to think in seasons, for example, you have more time for victory. If you play a four-quarter game, you only have that much time to win. If you play a nine-inning game, you only have that much time to win. But if you think in seasons, you have more time to win. A lot of the people who contact me, and they want to get married, they want to have a family, which is a beautiful goal, but they have a date on it. They want to get married by 30. They want to be married before they're 25. They want to be married. I mean, they really will put a number on that. You know, I want to get married before I'm 30. Well, okay. But what if God's plan isn't until you're 32, or your perfect person isn't ready until you're, you know, 34? You know, now are you miserable because you're not judging it as a season? You're judging it as a date. And so if we learn to think about a season, we have more time to win. For example, if you say, you know, Lord, I would like to get married and have a family while I'm still able to have more than one child. Boom. You just threw it wide open from 18 to 40. Instead of fixating on, I want to get married before I'm 30. Now you have more time. You can avoid desperation and mistakes. Seasons will keep you from wasting your time because you'll discern what time it is. You'll think, this is what I need to do in my life, and this is the season for that. And anybody that doesn't contribute to that goal, well, they don't have a place in your life. Anything or activity that doesn't increase you. If it's the season for you to go to college because you have a good scholarship, maybe you shouldn't be out partying. Maybe you should be concentrating on your studies because this is the season for you to go to school and get good grades. If this is your season, you just got hired by a company, maybe this is the season for you to do your best work and show up on time and do an excellent job. Maybe it's not the season for you to get this great job and have a great opportunity and then squander it. Seasons, discerning seasons, will help you know exactly what time it is. What do I do? What do I need to do? What's happening to me right now? And what do I need to do with it? Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And so pray and ask God for wisdom. Show me what season this is. I don't want to be doing a bunch of dumb stuff. If God is blessing something on my right, then I don't want to be over here on the left. If something is a miracle or a blessing or an answered prayer, I learned to pray this prayer when I was a young child. Lord, please don't let me miss my miracle because I don't like or recognize the package that it comes in. Well, we can just add that to seasons. Don't let me miss a step. Don't let me miss a season. This is your season. This is your time. You want to walk into it with wisdom and understanding and knowledge. Seasons and an awareness of seasons will also help you to adjust. Nobody does the same thing their whole life. And one of the wonderful things about being tribal is that we actually mark seasons. So, for example, one of the reasons I think I was so unhappy for so long was that I was stuck in a wrong season. Like I was just stuck in a season that, you know, was just going on too long. And I was past that. And I was ready to do other things, and I was sort of stuck in this season. And then God blessed me, and I was able to join the matriarchy. So now I can sit with the mothers at ceremonies, and my clothing has changed, and my hairstyle has changed, and even the vocabulary I use traditionally has changed. And the other mothers of the matriarchy are my community now, as opposed to the young women who were looking for husbands and families. And that means I have to change, right? I literally don't do the same dances I used to do when I was not a mother. I wear different clothes now, traditional patterns and different items, and behave differently. And other cultures have these same kinds of milestones too, right? Our Jewish friends have bar and bar mitzvahs that literally welcome you into a different level. You are considered a man or a woman of the faith now. Baptism in Christian circles. You have a new life, and that's an outward sign of it. We have many cultures that change your clothes during widowhood, for example. Many clothes and things are changed when you become a woman in tribal cultures. And that is a great way to look at seasons. If you are in a season right now where you have just been promoted on your job, your behavior should be different. Check your clothing. Is it appropriate for this new job? A married woman and a single woman, there's some big changes. delete some stuff out of your phone. If you're a man with a family, we expect a different behavior from you, a different level of responsibility and accountability than if you're just a single guy. If you are a person that's in a season right now that's difficult, you might have to focus your energy on different things than if you're in a season that's a little more peaceful. If you're in a season where you're prosperous and abundant, perhaps you should think about how to use that to the best advantage of your family and the rest of your life, not just, you know, blow through it. If you're in a season that's a little more difficult, perhaps it's a season to be frugal. I'm not telling you what to do, but I know who can. And by praying and asking for wisdom, you can survive any season you need to in a good way. Steps and seasons. We're going to take a break right now. And while we do, I just want you to think for a few minutes about the seasons and the steps. You know, just pray within your own heart and find out what season is this for you. What steps do you need to take? And when we come right back, we'll look at how it's done.
Yeah, oh Lord, can you come and save her? Better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard. Then pray hard and never look back once the world forgave you.
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Wait a minute. They told us we had an oil shortage. Well, yeah, I guess in a way we are running out of oil.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Tia.
And I'm Heather.
And we are Three Voices.
You want this drama over here? It's clear. You got Gilbert over here. You got LeBron over here. And guess what? We talking about it.
I'm trying to get over the dog whistle politics thing because I can't hear it and dogs supposed to hear it. So who hears the dog whistle?
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Yes, I said your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com, click Listen Live to hear a program. The blogs and podcasts are up and running. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone.
Yes, I said cell phone.
TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring. It's volunteering in your community. It's shoveling a neighbor's snow or cutting an elderly person's grass for them or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
If you don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's gonna freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are a bit exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Fact is, high blood pressure contributes to 200,000 American deaths each year, and a third of those who have high blood pressure don't know it. If they did, it'd be simple to treat. Call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA1 or visit AmericanHeart.org on the web to learn more. Better still, ask your doctor to check your blood pressure.
If you run without scissors,
it's the least you can do.
Hi, everyone. Al Roker here. As a guy with his own catchphrase, I appreciate that after 75 years, Smokey's only said,
"Only you can prevent wildfires."
But I'm filling in because there's a lot more to report. Like when it's dry or windy. Be careful burning yard waste, because wildfires can even start in your neck of the woods. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair?
Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hey, I'm Haley Kiyoko, and I know what it's like to struggle with mental health issues. If you have a friend that's going through a tough time, now is the perfect moment to reach out. Learn how to start the conversation at seizetheawkward.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Hey, it's me, your cell phone. We need to talk about something. Something serious. I know you love me. I know you like using me wherever you are. But I feel like this isn't working out when you're driving. I know you may think that it's possible to focus both on me and the road, but I just don't feel the same way. I think we should spend time away from each other when you're driving. It's for the best.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
What do you think you're doing, Kevin?
I was just going to drive home.
There are several warning signs present that you shouldn't be driving.
Like hearing voices?
Like your text to emoji ratio?
Oh, man, the selfies.
Selfie nailed it.
We all have warning signs that let us know that we're probably not okay to drive. Mine is pretending to be your subconscious.
Craig, come on, man, let's put a ride home.
Meet Norm. He lives with anxiety, but with the help of this latest innovation from Be Normal, he can be normal, just like everyone else. With the swipe of a finger, you can project happiness, confidence, machismo. Why settle for being real when you can be normal? The Normal Maker. New from Be Normal.
This item doesn't really work because there's no such thing as normal. We're all different. What we like, how our brains work. In fact, 1 in 5 of us live with mental illness. Don't filter who you are. Start by talking to someone you trust. And remember, there is no normal.
The COVID-19 vaccines can be our chance to get back to our plans, who we are, what we miss, to get back to each other, to life. But it's okay to have questions, like, how were the vaccines tested? In rigorous clinical trials among adults of diverse backgrounds. Can the vaccines give you COVID-19? You cannot get COVID-19 from a vaccine. Why should I get vaccinated? Protecting yourself also helps protect the people around you. Find the latest information at getvaccineanswers.org.
Extinction is forever. To save America's most iconic and imperiled species from extinction, we must fight for their future. Fight to save the natural lands that wildlife call home. Fight to limit pollution. Fight for smart development. Fight for their future. And fight for ours. For so goes nature, so goes us.
Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
Talking about steps and seasons and how to use those lessons to have a great new year and beyond at any time. A fresh start at any time. And you know, I never have heard anybody preach about this or talk about this. And I think that's how God does me. A lot of times the scripture verses and the insights that the Lord gives me, I've never heard anybody else talk about them. And so I really want to talk about one of my favorite people in the Bible, the Shunammite woman. And the Bible calls her a great woman. Doesn't even give her a name, though. We never know her name. And I think sometimes in the Bible, when God doesn't give a person a specific name, it's because then we can place ourselves in their shoes. We can really, without any limitations, we can really see through their eyes and through their experience. And so in 2 Kings chapter 4, it talks about a great woman. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where there was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick, and it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. I'm amazed by this woman. She's a great woman. She is. And I'm amazed that nobody really talks about her, or at least I haven't heard anybody really talk about her, because what she does is shows that really she's one of the queens of seasons. She's the queen of seasons. She says, I perceive that this is a holy man of God. That means she was able to tell what season this was. This prophet, Elisha, passed a whole lot of people. You know, when he was traveling, he passed by a whole lot of people. But this one great woman perceives that he's a holy man. Somebody didn't have to tell her that. You know, he didn't tell her, hello, I am a holy man. She perceived it. That means she was in tune with her spirit and wisdom and discernment that we talked about. She discerned that this was a season when a holy man was coming around and coming close to them as well, which passeth by us continually. In other words, she was able to discern that this was a season where there was a flow of holiness, good vibes, sacred energy was swirling around them continually. In other words, when he passed by, she knew that holy things and the presence of God were near her. And she could have just said, isn't that great? Isn't that cool? Wow. Imagine that. But she takes inspired action based on the season. He's passing by us continually. There's a holy man of God in our midst, in our sphere, in our orbit. I'm going to take some actions. And she actually built a guest room. And in those days, you know, they didn't have the Airbnb or, you know, they didn't have a Hyatt that you could stay at. So travel was challenging, and hospitality was a pillar of travel. Like, people had to depend on, you know, good innkeepers or someone to stay with that was trustworthy, or lodgings were hard to find. That's the whole nativity story, right? There was no room in the inn. And yet in this woman's mind, she understands, hey, there's a holy flow of sacred miracles and blessings here. I want them at our house. And she builds a guest room. Now, how many, you know, renovations and additions, that's not cheap. That's not easy. She was willing to make that effort and that sacrifice because she discerned that having a man of God around was worth it. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. In other words, whenever that sacred man of God comes by, he's going to be staying with us. He's going to be staying with us. We're going to make sure if God moves and he's in our vicinity, we'll be there for it. What about your seasons? Is there a season happening right now that you need to perceive? And I love that word perceive, because you can perceive. An angel didn't appear to her and say that a man of God was coming. Nobody else told her. He didn't tell her. She just picked up on what season this was. For example, if it's 90 degrees out and the sun is shining, it might be summer. Of course, with climate change, who knows? And you'll dress accordingly. You'll act accordingly. And he, okay, and it says that, and he said to, okay, and it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. In other words, he came into the guest room that she built. Now, she has done something wonderful for him, and he is there. The presence of God is there. This is wonderful for her family. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. These seasons will bring you into the presence of good things and miracles. If you understand that this is a season in your life where you're making connections and networking and building your career, then you'll make the most of every job fair, of every conference, of every opportunity. If you don't, then you'll miss sessions. You won't go. You'll play video games, and then wonder why you're not progressing like other people. And he said, unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? See, God is actually looking to bless this woman. He's actually making it a season of blessings. She's done a really wonderful thing of hospitality for a good man of God. And through him, God is looking for a way to bless her. Seasons will let you know when your miracles are near. Seasons will let you know when your blessings are available to you. I'm looking at this, and I think this is wonderful right here. And Gehazi answered, verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. So even though she did this wonderful thing for somebody else, built a guest room on her home, practiced hospitality, even though she herself didn't have everything she needed. Her life wasn't perfect. She had some lack in it. No child, and her husband is old. And yet, rather than wallow in her own disappointment and say this is a negative season in her life and she's just depressed and discouraged, seasons changed for her. Watch out now. See, seasons change. This man is reporting that she has no child and her husband is old. That looks like a really permanent problem. That looks like a season of loneliness and discouragement and, defeat. But seasons change. And what if she had acted ugly? What if she'd have said, I don't have what I want. Why should I do something for somebody else? Or, I didn't get my blessing. Why should I bless him? She would have missed her miracle. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. See that season? There's the season. There's no date on that. There's no limit on that. It's a season. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. And the Bible immediately says in the very next verse, doesn't even worry about that. Doesn't even deal with that doubt and unbelief. Doesn't even, the disappointment, I don't want to get my hopes up. I look at my natural situation and it looks impossible. Nope, doesn't even deal with that. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her according to the time of life. This is why I think this woman is the queen of seasons. I really do. I think she perceived what season it was, that the presence of God was available, that the Spirit of God was moving near her. She took inspired action and did something to make that season a part of her own life, and then received a miracle in season. I love that. I just love that so much, and I think it gives me so much hope because it shows me that at any time, your season can change for the better. And yet, the steps she took don't even really match. She didn't build a nursery for a baby. She built a guest room for an old prophet. She didn't go out to the store and get a bunch of baby stuff and all of that. She built a room for a man of God. So she was taking steps toward her own seasons changing and didn't even know it. How many times are you taking actions or doing something for somebody else, and all the while God is planning your blessing or your miracle? I was thinking about a friend of ours, and he had been through a lot in his life. And one day he said he was driving down the highway, not too far from Silva, and he saw that a woman had broken down, her car had broken down, and he thought, oh, I really want to go home, I'm tired, I've been working all day, but I'm going to stop. Right? Good old Southern hospitality. We're going to stop and help this woman. And he did. He changed her tire. He made sure she was okay. And long story short, it ended up that he married her. They developed a friendship and all of that. And he used to joke. He said, yep, all it took was a tire. But when he stopped, he didn't know that. He didn't know that that very small step of changing her tire and being inconvenienced and tired and all that was going to bring him into a season of joy and marriage. He didn't know that. He just did the right thing because it was the right thing to do. How many places in your life are the steps going to change the season for you? I really want you to pray about that. Because this Queen of Seasons, I mean, she's amazing. She's amazing. I mean, she gets her son brought back to life. There's another place, another moment in her interactions with Elisha, because these seasons will let you know what to do when. And I want to read this little piece to you from 2 Kings 8. Again, I've never heard anybody talk about this, but I think we'd better. Then spake Elisha unto the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, arise and go thou and thine household and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn, for the Lord hath called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land 7 years. And the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. Seasons change. There was a point where she was so prosperous, she was putting guest rooms on her house and having children. And then the prophet, who she sowed into his life, right, by having him be part of her home and family, she got this inside information from God that a famine was coming. And she left that house. Now, she had built an addition on it. It was a prosperous home. But she left and went to sojourn somewhere else. In other words, she missed the famine. Everybody else was in a famine. But because of the steps she took to build that guest room, her relationship with the prophet meant that she could hear what God's plans were. And she knew the season was about to change. The season where she had prospered and had plenty of money and all kinds of, you know, building projects and a family, that season was about to be different. So she left. She missed it. It was a famine. She wasn't there. She just departed. Everybody else was surprised by the famine, but not her. She went to someplace else. And he said, go wherever you can sojourn, wherever you can go. Get everything together and go. Now imagine if she'd have turned to him as he was saying that and said, you know, I just built an addition on this house. I'm a great woman in this area. I have a child. No, she obeyed him. She understood that the season was changing. Sometimes you need to know, as my Aunt Irene, whenever you tell her something, she starts singing that song, The Gambler, know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, know when to run. She'd start singing that, but this woman got it. The man of God didn't say, oh, just stick it out. Just stay here and God will bless you in the famine. It'll be all right. No, he said, get out of here. And she did. Some seasons in your life, it's over. Right? It's like when you graduate from college, you have to leave the dorm. You can't live there anymore. That's not where you can live. It's that kind of thing, right? Some seasons are over. That relationship is dead. Quit trying to revive it. It's dead. God has something better. Don't even cry around about that job, because God really has a better plan for you than that. So this woman obeys the directions Queen of Seasons, right? I mean, Queen of Seasons. And she goes and she leaves and goes to a whole other land because she obeyed the word of God. And the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. And it came to pass at the 7 years' end that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines, and she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. And the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha hath done. Okay, you're going to see something. That step she took when she connected herself to the man of God is going to bless her once again. And it came to pass, as he was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life, that behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king for her house and for her land. In other words, perfect timing. Perfect timing. They're just talking about her. She walks in to ask for restoration. And Gehazi said, my lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son, whom Elisha restored to life. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. And so the king appointed unto her a certain officer, saying, restore all that was hers, and all the fruits of the field, since the day that she left the land, even until now. Wow. God changed the season from a famine to restoration. Everything, 7 years worth of everything she lost, was restored to her in one conversation. Seasons change, and they don't always change for the worse. They change for the better, too. Okay, what if you squandered your season? You missed it. You should have been studying when you got that scholarship to college, but you partied instead. Or you look up and realize, oh my goodness, you put so much time into your career and now your biological clock is running out of time. Or you spent so much time chasing after money and new things and now you realize you really would like to have a good woman by your side, but maybe the woman that you mistreated, you realize now, oh, you had something wonderful and you blew it. Maybe you're sitting there right now thinking, oh, man, I should have applied for that promotion and I didn't. Okay. I've got a wonderful thing for you. And I've never heard anybody preach on this either. I've never heard anybody talk about this or teach on this either. So it's just one of those hidden gems that the Lord has shown me. Maybe because I need it and you do too. So I'm going to just share it with you. 2 Chronicles 25. Amaziah is the king, and he's going to go to war. And it says, he hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. But there came a man of God to him, saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. But if thou wilt go, do it, be strong for the battle, God shall make thee fall before the enemy. For God hath the power to help and to cast down. Yikes. You ever had that? You really meant well. You were making a plan, but it was your plan. It wasn't God's plan. A lot of our failures in life, it's because it was our plan. We didn't pray about it or we didn't seek God about it. There's nothing wrong with doing the right thing and asking God to bless it, but there are some things we just do. We just did them. We didn't even pray about it. We didn't even ask God. We just. And here's the thing. The man of God came to correct him. So often we are doing something and we have a check in our spirit. I have a precious friend. She was dating a really not great guy. And she dated him for like 4 years and he was just awful. He was awful as a boyfriend, and everybody tried to warn her, and we all tried to beg her, just no, let him go, let him go. And her answer was, well, if I don't marry him, then I've wasted 4 years of my life. So she married him, and now he's not a very good husband either. And so not only has she wasted 4 years, but now 5 years, and now 6 years, and now 7. You see where I'm going with this? Sometimes we're doing something, and it seems like a good idea, and we might even have the right motives for doing it. We might even be right. in other circumstances, but God puts a check on it. Someone warns us, or something happens, we just don't have peace in our spirits, or the Holy Spirit is dealing with us about it, and we go forward and do it anyway and blow up the season. We have a season that we don't want to have. The great woman that I read to you about listened to the prophet of God, and she got out of the famine. She didn't go through that famine. She didn't live through that season, and when she came back, she got all her wealth and riches and then some. This man is about to go to a battle, and the man of God is warning him, and he says, if you go, you're going to die. God's not in this. And his answer is very interesting to me. And for all of you who are thinking about staying in the wrong season or taking the wrong step, just because, here you go. And Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? And the man of God answered, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Maybe you blew it. Maybe you just failed. Maybe it's your own fault. You squandered an opportunity. You wasted some money. You hurt a person you shouldn't have hurt. You did something wrong, and you messed up. Well, my granddaddy used to say, repentance ain't no big thing. All you have to do is stop and turn around. And that's exactly what Amaziah does. Then Amaziah separated them, to wit, the army that was come to him out of Ephraim, to go home again. In other words, he paid attention to the man of God. He said, okay, yeah, I lost a lot of money. I spent a lot of money on this. I can't get it back. Their time and energy, yeah, but I'm not going to keep on going forward with a mistake and create a wrong season. He sent them home, and he trusted that God could restore the money that he had lost. As we close right now, I just want to say to you that maybe you did make a mistake. You messed up. You know, we all have a story like that about something. You wasted your time, or you wasted your energy, or you didn't listen to God. You know, you didn't listen to grandma. You didn't listen to your teacher. You didn't listen to somebody, your doctor. You messed up. Well, you can still change the season. And this man shows us how. He obeyed God. I believe the will of God is a heart attitude. I believe that the minute you decide, I want to be in the will of God, Lord, please, I want your will. You are. And he'll work everything else out. But you are in the will of God. And so I just implore you, steps and seasons. Seek God about the steps you can take right now that will bring a good season into your life. What steps can I take that will stop a bad one? What can I do? What wisdom and understanding do I need right now to change the times and the seasons and walk in blessings and abundance right now? We're so thankful you joined us today, and we're so thankful to our sponsors. We're so thankful to this network. We're thankful to God for this wonderful opportunity. We're gracious. We're greatly grateful to be on another year and to have amazing guests coming in this new year, wonderful opportunities, and terrific sponsors. We are thankful, thankful, thankful. Steps and seasons. That's what you need to have a happy new year any time of the year. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and we'll see you next time.
You come and save her. Better believe they get on their knees and pray her. They pray her. And never look back once the Lord forgave you.
Yeah, oh Lord, can you come and save her? Let her believe they get on her knees and pray her. They pray her. Ain't never look bad once the world forgets.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com.